And I'll get to all of these things. We have some gifts on the back table for you this morning. In 2 weeks, I'm going to start a series called It's Time. We had these little bracelets made for everybody, and it says simply on them, It's Time. It's time to remind you. This will remind you it's time in your life. Some of you, maybe you live in a lifestyle of putting things off. Maybe you're just a procrastinator by nature. Maybe you've never accepted God's grace and His plan for your life. I want you to know it's time for that. And these are just a little lever to encourage you on that on a regular basis. You can put these on. We even got a couple sizes for the smaller wristed people. So everybody's going to be a part of it. I'm going to bring these up in a few minutes too. We have these, as every year, a couple times a year, little invite cards for Easter. 85% of the people that you invite will say yes to coming. Will you get disappointed on some? Sure. But you shouldn't let that be a negative to stop you to invite somebody. And then we've had these before as well. And these are all I'm going to culminate all these together this morning. Praise the Lord. I pray in next week, a little card that as you, maybe you go through a drive-through or I love to buy people Starbucks coffee. It's just I get in line and whether somebody's ahead of me or behind me, I just like to buy their coffee. And sometimes I have these. I don't always, but we made these. And it's just a little card that says something extra to show you that God loves you. Maybe if you feel so, to leave a generous tip that you just slip this with that. And on the back, it's got where you come from, you're the church. And so these are just a blessing for you to use. And we should be this vessel of blessing all the time in our lives. And there's always an opportunity to do that, to help somebody, to share God's love and to reach out to somebody that maybe is having a bad day, maybe is going through something, maybe is struggling in some area of their lives. You know, I maybe have done this two times in the traveling that I do, because I'm not usually wearing that type of shoe, but I was going through the airport. I was in a hurry leaving Wednesday, and I had been somewhere that I had some dirt and mud on my shoes, and so there was a shoe shiner in the Buffalo airport that I thought, you know what, I'm just going to do this. I feel a little funny doing it. I don't depend on people to do that. I don't think I'm that big of a big shot to have my shoe shine, but I was in a tight squeeze, so I thought, I'm just going to sit down there. And I sat down there, and the gentleman started cleaning my shoes, and we just started talking and talking about things in his life, and he started telling me that he was struggling quitting smoking. And I didn't tell him I was a pastor. I didn't tell him anything. He just brought it. We just had a really good in-depth conversation there. He got all done, and I saw the guy before me gave him a $2 tip, and I thought, and I just felt the Lord nudge me. I want you to bless this guy, and you know, I don't say this braggingly, but if you hang around me, you're going to get blessed, because I love to be a blesser. And so I got down from the chair, and you know, I laid my hand on him, and I said, you know, I'm a pastor. I'm going to be praying with you and for you. He told me, he says, if I stop at my friend's house on the way home, it won't be good because I know I'll smoke. But if I go right home, I'll make it. Isn't that interesting? This guy's telling me this like we've known each other for a long time. And I thought how that was a statement, because there's some people here that if you went right home, life would be better for you than stopping where you shouldn't stop. Hello? And so I pulled out a generous offering for him. And I said, I want you to do me one favor. He goes, what's that? I said, I want you to go right home tonight. I don't want you to spend this on something you shouldn't. He said, thank you. I prayed for him. I just prayed blessing over him. You never know the seed that you're going to sow in somebody's life. Amen. Amen. Come on. And you have that availability. Amen. Give Jesus a praise for that. You have the availability to do that every day of your life. I've shared this story before. It's one of my favorite stories about reaching out. Today I want to talk about simply salt and light. Jesus calls us to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. There was a man one day that was driving on his honeymoon with his wife, and he erratically was driving, and he pulled out to pass a car, never seeing oncoming traffic, and he slammed headlong into a car coming. He came to after the crash, and he laid there, and he looked over at his wife, and there he saw her bleeding and unconscious, and it gripped his heart. But it just so happened that where he crashed was in front of a building that had on the front of a building a sign that said, Office of Dr. Bill Jones. He went around the side of his car. He opened up the crinkled door. He grabbed his brand new bride out of the car. He carried her up to the doorstep. He began to beat on the door. And when the gentleman came to the door and answered, he frantically said to him, Are you Dr. Jones? And the man said, Well, yes, I am. He said, My wife, we just got in a terrible accident. Can you help her? And the man looked back at him. And he said this, he said, I'm sorry, but I don't practice medicine anymore. The man looked back at him and he said, if you don't practice, then take down your sign. And I love this because the reality of it is that if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are a follower, but you're not doing what he called you and I to do, then you need to take down your sign. If there's no activity in your life, if you go around preaching one way but acting another, and I came to the realization as I was praying over this that many times people don't want to invite somebody to church because of the testimony in their own life. And you and I need to amp that up to a level that we do and live and we are what the Bible says in Matthew 5. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And in any time in the culture that we live in, people need to hear that and they need to have that hope brought into their lives. And I love this verse of scripture in Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 19. And I'm reading it out of the New Living Translation. It says, you are to influence them. You're not to let them to influence you. And if I taught my kids anything when they were growing up, that was about being leaders. And when you're in school, that you are to be a leader. You are to have influence in others around you and not to let everybody have influence on you. Because God has given you and I an assignment in our lives that we are to reach out to the people that we run into, the people that we are connected to, the people that we are exposed to on a regular basis. And we are to let them know that there is a God in heaven that loves them, that died for them, and that has life to give to each and every one of them. Come on, say amen today on that. The Bible says in the English Standard Version in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 and verse 15, it said, the area of influence God assigned to each to us is to reach even to you. In verse 15, it says, but our hope is that your faith increases. Look at this. Your faith increases. Our area of influence, so that our area of influence may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel. Look at this, in lands beyond you. Man, I love that. And you put that together with where I was this week, and I became close friends, and you'll see his picture in a few minutes with a man that his name is Kareem, and I met, he was from Syria, Damascus, Syria, and I met another man by the name of Shmagi from the Republic of Georgia. When he said that name, I'm riding in the van, and it's when I got at the airport, I've never been picked up, and they were standing there holding my name on a sign. I wanted to take a picture of it, but I thought it'd be too haughty. But so I get into the van, and I'm sitting next to a man from Damascus, Syria, and a man from the Republic of Georgia, Kareem on one side and Shmagi on the other side. Isn't that amazing? But I thought of this verse. We influence people around us now because it not only does that, it leads us to lands beyond us. It leads that influence to lands beyond where we are called to reach locally, but our influence as a church increases globally. And God never blesses us for just our own sakes. Get this. It's not just about you're four and no more. It's always about other people. Not just to walk around with a Christian t-shirt or a cross around our neck and saying, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. But to be a blessing to others and to live a lifestyle of a Christian life that has an influence on people everywhere. I read this. I've known this for quite some time. Dr. Bill Bright, who's the founder of Campus Crusade, and Dr. Lauren Cunningham, who's the founder of YWAM, Youth with a Mission, two of the largest evangelical organizations in the world, in 1975 got together and the night before simultaneously had this dream about how God wanted to reach the world. And they wrote these things down. And as they met together, these were the things. They wrote down the seven streams of influence that are called to reach the world. Here they are. Number one is the church, because it has an impact on the world. And many in our culture feel like the church should practice what it has and be quiet about it and not let anybody know. In fact, some have misconstrued the statement and the notion in our Constitution that its church is separate from the state. And nothing could be further from the truth. Really, the church is not supposed to be quiet. The church is supposed to have influence in the world that we live in. We are not just called to come into the church on a Sunday or a Thursday or whenever and have our own little groups and never release the life and the love of Jesus Christ into the world that we are called to be in. And I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm not talking about if you're supposed to work that you're standing around holding out tracts. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in the life that you and I live, we have an influence in the world. Hello. And then it's in the second stream is in government. That the government has a powerful and a profound influence in the society and the culture that we live in. And you can tell that our government that is over our country right now has had an influence in our nation that has changed and has turned some things in a different direction. And we are to have influence in that. If we hear or see something that is inappropriate, we're not to necessarily walk around holding banners and telling people how much we hate them or how bad they are. We are to have and allow the love of God to come through us and say, hey, maybe there is a better way. This is important. God's given me an open door in the area of this in our own community. It was incredible. A couple weeks ago, I wasn't in the office and our city manager. And you know, I read things all the time talking about how bad our city manager is. Instead of people saying how bad he is, especially in the church, we should pray for who that person is. All our leaders, you and I are called to pray for those who are in authority in our land. Come on, amen me on that. And so I've been involved in some things, and while I was gone, he carries up to my office, and this is why one of the reasons he did this, because, you know, he goes through stuff in the government. People, you know, they either love you, they're sucking up to you, or they just hate you, and they're trying to just have you put out. And I told him one day, I said, listen, I want to tell you a scripture verse. This is powerful. You'll love it. He goes, oh, really? Okay, tell me. I said, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. He said, really? I go, yes. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. He goes, wow. He said, I've never heard that before. I said, I know. That's why I told you. He brings me up my favorite drink, Sarasota water. He carries a case of it up, brings it into the office, and he writes down on the top of the case, Matthew 5, I think it's 36 or 39, blessed are the peacemakers. That's influence into the government, my brothers and sisters. The next sphere is arts and entertainment, sports, movies. My wife and I wanted to see the movie Noah, and we went and see it. And again, controversial. A lot of things that they extracted out of wherever that really aren't biblical. But listen, the bottom line is what that movie showed is the depravity of humanity. And these things are important because you and I have to remember that the natural man does not perceive the things of the Spirit. The Bible says, because they are only spiritually appraised or received. The next sphere is business. Business people have influence. Media shapes how we think, the news and the opinions that we're aware of. And then family. Anytime the family is strong and God-fearing, the community, society flourishes. When it's not, society begins to crumble. And we have to avail ourselves to these areas and have a godly impact and influence on them. And when the local church becomes the hope of the world, then the world changes. And when the local church becomes mobilized, that means engaged, whether it's just one-on-one with somebody, maybe it's going out on Adopt-A-Block on Saturday, however it is, you're engaging, you're mobilized, you're doing something, you're inviting somebody, you're handing somebody one of these invites. You say, hey, I don't know if you're going anywhere on Easter Sunday, but I'd love to have you come to our church and we're going to have a great time and maybe even give it before. This would be a great thing. Invite him to Palm Sunday. You know, we're going to pay for the pancakes. You know, and take him to lunch and take all the credit for it. Come on, somebody. But invite him, mobilize, because when you do, you infuse hope into people's lives. Matthew 5:13. Here is in the Today's English Version. I like this. You are like salt for the whole human race. And I could go into a definition of what salt does, but you know, the reality of salt is, and one of my boys knows this, it makes things taste better and enhances flavor in things. And you can look at this from a standpoint, and I get weary when people take on this notion that we are called to condemn the world. Salt does not condemn food. It's supposed to enhance it and make it taste better. And when you and I are salt to the world, we don't stand around and condemn the world. We say, hey, as Paul said, come follow me as I follow Jesus. We have influence on them to make their tasteless life begin to taste better and begin to be better. And we season them with the hope of Jesus Christ. We don't tell them they're going to go to hell. We tell them there's a way that you don't have to go to hell. Follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Salt. Matthew 5:16, in contemporary English version, it says, let your light shine so that others will see the good that you do and will praise your Father in heaven. Let your light shine. You got to let it shine. And that is why this week and next week, I want to talk about this, because as we are approaching the greatest time of the year for people to contemplate a decision in their life, this involves you and I, not just a couple. It involves every single one of us, because you are the hands that someone needs to be touched by, and you're the heart that needs to show the love of Jesus and have influence and be salt and light to somebody that maybe you've never seen or met before. And our entire goal is to help others find who Jesus Christ is and the purpose for what they have been created for. You know, there's people all the time, they live their lives with no purpose and no plan. They do the same thing day in and day out, but there's no joy in their life. There's no hope. There's no destiny. They have no eternal connection. And we are called to be the people of God that have the only eternal connection that can give it and share it with other people. Oh, praise God. And so I just want to close with these three very important questions. Why do we do it? We do it because God loves this. Hear me. His eyes are on the world, and he's concerned with the lost. He is passionate. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but it all come to repentance. And this is the truth, that if you want a relationship with someone, you have to learn to love what they love. I love that statement. If you want a relationship with someone, and you can talk about that here on earth, or I'm talking about it with your Heavenly Father. You need to love what they love. And if you want your relationship, and I'm going to close with a verse in a few moments that's going to highlight this, but Hebrews 13:16 says, don't forget to do good things for others and to share what you have with them. These are the kinds of sacrifices that please the Lord. I love that. And your life will not be what it's been formed to do until you do what you've been created to do. Because it's our destiny. It's our work. It's what God has called us to. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are called to do this. And we are here so we can make a difference in someone else's life. You know, sometimes we go through life so fast that we might stop. You know, I've never had my shoes shine maybe one other time in an airport, but I just felt okay. And I took that moment and God used that minute in my life to stop me and to slow me down a little bit to have influence on someone. And people are so intense about getting from A to Z that they miss what's in between. And maybe somebody's there just really hoping that you will say something to them so that they can know who this Jesus is and why you're walking in all happy and they're walking around sad. Oh, praise God. Maybe it's somebody that you work with. Maybe it's a person that you get coffee from on a regular basis. I don't know who it is, but you know who it is. Who could you say, hey, come with me? Who could you bless and leave one of these cards? I just want you to know, here's a little something extra to let you know that God loves you. And then where? Your world. Where do I do this? In your world, in my world. God's plan for the world is for you to change your world. For you to have influence on the people that you are around. And if you're afraid of that, let me tell you something. God will not cause you to do something that he has never equipped you to do. You can do it. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you can do it. Just say, I got this. Come on. Exodus 4:2. Remember how Moses, he was worrying. He was wondering, how is he going to do these things that God, you're calling me to do. I stutter. I'm afraid. I can't stand in front of people. And God says this to Moses. He says, what's that in your hand? Many of you got more in your hand than you ever thought you did. God says to him, what's in your hand? He says, it's only a staff. He says, throw it down and watch it come alive. What's in your hand today? I want to ask you that today. What has God put in your hands today? You can do this. These cards, you got that next, you should have that pickup on there, Jeff. Next slide, Jeff. Hello. Oh, you're a little, go to, there you go. Something extra to tell people that God loves them. That's what it is. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into it. Don't just do it half-heartedly. I'm closing, Debbie. Number three, how? You have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You have to let him lead you. You have to be sensitive to maybe someone else's life. Because listen to this. The Holy Spirit is more than just your comforter. He is there to lead you as well. And when you do what God has called you to do, then you will feel the power of God. You'll be salt and light in your world. Tommy Barnett says, you'll find a need and you'll fill it. You'll find a hurt and you'll heal it. St. Francis of Assisi says it this way, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. That is one of the greatest quotes ever. Some of you need a nudge to make a difference in your world. And that's what I'm here encouraging you to do today. I'm here to help you to make a difference in your world. Some of you, maybe you've never done this. You've never stepped out on this. And this is what you need to do. I told you I met this man this week. His name is Kareem. He's from Damascus in Syria, a country that has been decimated. He is a former devout Muslim. And he came to America. He's a photographer, a journalist. He wrote a book called Paul and Me. He talks about Paul's experience on the road to Damascus compared to his experience on the road from Damascus. It's powerful. He began to tell me about his experience and how he had a friend and he came to America. He had an aneurysm and he was in a coma for 7 weeks. And they didn't said he, if he came out, he'd never function ever again. He came through it. He had people praying for him. And God miraculously, he said he had to begin to learn everything all over. It took him 6 or 7 years to look at. He'd look at a pen and they'd say, "Do you know what this is?" And he'd say, "No." They'd say, "It's a pen." And he'd say, what is that?" He had to completely learn everything over. And in the process, God supernaturally sped things up to now he's a writer. And he said he was going to church on a regular basis. And he met a person. He said, "Are you a Christian?" He says, "Yes, I go to church." He said, "No, going to church doesn't make you a Christian." He goes, "What makes me a Christian?" He's so innocent. He's going to come here someday. He wants to come. So I told him all about all of you. He said, "I want to come. I want to come and visit." And this friend of his told him, "You have to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life." He said, "When I heard that, I didn't question in a moment." He said, "I got on my knees." He was outside on a walk. And he said, "Right then, I asked Jesus to come into my heart and my life." He says, "And from that point on," he said, "I've never turned back and I've lived greater than I've ever lived before in my life." And he said, "All the things that I learned as a Muslim," he said, "I look back at that now," and he said, "I can't believe." And when he was talking to me, he says that Islam teaches that you don't love, that you hate. And Jesus teaches that you don't hate, but you love. I thought that was so cool. Jesus loves you today. And he not only loves you, but he loves the people that are around you. Listen to what Proverbs says. Never walk away from someone who deserves help. Your hand is God's hand for that person. Never tell your neighbors to wait until tomorrow if you can help them right now. Right now. And you wonder why? What's in it for me? Here's what's in it for you. Isaiah chapter 58. If you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, look at, your light will shine in darkness. Your night will become like noonday. When you become the light for someone else, guess what happens in your life? Light begins to come in your life. Listen, if you're struggling, if you're sitting here today and say, "I can't help anyone else. I need somebody to help me." Maybe your answer today, instead of being such, looking so introspectively in your own life, that you give to someone else and let the light of God shine in the darkness of your life. And the Lord will guide you always to satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. Would you close your eyes and bow your head with me? I'm going to close here in just a moment. I so want you to engage in this beautiful experience of sharing the love of God. I'm not talking about preaching to someone. I'm not talking about standing out on a corner with a megaphone. I've done that before. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about you just saying to someone, "Hey, have you ever considered God? You ever considered letting the Lord do something in your life?" And then saying, "Hey, why don't you come to church with me? Why don't you come the next few weeks?" And then let the Holy Spirit do what he does. And as you do that, if you're going through a dark time, light will begin to shine in your life. I feel that for someone here today. I feel when I said that, somebody was saying, "I need help. Who's going to help me?" This is your answer. When you help others, when you shine the light for others, God will shine the light on your life. Praise God. Maybe you're here today, just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Your life is out of order with God. He wants to help you. Maybe you're here today and you've fallen away from him. Maybe things just aren't right in your life. He is not here to condemn you, neither am I. He's here to help you, and so am I. I want to pray for you this morning. God would strengthen you and lift you up and bring hope and encouragement into your life. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you today that you will touch, minister to my friends, my brothers and my sisters. You'll bring life and light. As they are the light of the world, I pray that the light of God of heaven shines in their life today as well. I bless them now. I thank you for great encouragement and hope for them. And give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. I love you a lot. On the back table, there's one of these cards. There's one of these cards. And there's a bracelet for you. Would you engage in this during this great season of the year? And I pray that this season of the year will mean more to you than any other time in your life. I love you. God loves you. I'm so happy to be home with family today. I love being home with family. I love you. God bless you. Go in grace today.